Coming to you from Dujardin Elementary School in Bloomingdale, Illinois, this is The Roar Podcast, where we share the magic taking place for all learners. Today is September 6th, 2018, and I'm here with special guest, Mrs. McGrain.
Hi, everyone. Like Ms. Eggert said, I am Mrs. McGrain, and I am a fifth grade teacher here at Dujardin.
Today, we will be talking about flipped learning. How do you describe flipped learning? Break it down for us.
You know, so for me, flipped learning is exactly what it sounds like. It's flipping the instruction of a given skill or topic so that instead of students doing practice at home, they are doing the practice with me in class. Students are doing the front loading at home, generally in the form of a video on a specific skill, and then they are working with me in school. It really offers me more face time with the students and the ability to address misconceptions at the moment they happen in the classroom with me.
Very cool. For those of you that are unfamiliar with flipped learning, it's kind of a way to just spice up instruction and really maximize the learning time. So instead of, and Mrs. McGrain will get into this, the direct instruction taking up so much of the time, it's really breaking it down so that you can immediately dive into meeting student needs and reaching them at their levels in a unique and an exciting way.
Honestly, it was a coworker of mine. Her daughter had come home from school and was telling her about this new cool way that they were doing math, and she was super engaged and really excited about being empowered in her own learning. And so I decided, you know what the heck, I'm gonna give it a try. So I started out with one topic, one lesson, one time, and my students really just took to it and flew with it. So that was kind of my beginning why. And why I continue to do it is because of the engagement of my students, the empowerment in their own learning, the ability for the students to direct their own instruction, and really to maximize the differentiation that I am able to give them.
That sounds absolutely amazing. So what did math used to look like before flipped learning? What did a typical math instruction time look like in your classroom?
Very traditional. It was, come on in, do some warm-up work, sit down, take out your notebooks. I'm going to teach you a skill. You're going to write down what I write down. We're going to do a couple practice problems. And then that night for homework, you will be practicing the skill independently. Come back the next day and move on.
Pretty teacher-centered.
Very teacher-centered, teacher-directed. Little time for me to meet personally with kids in the classroom. And a lot of their independent work was being done at home outside of my eyes and my directives.
Okay, so that was before. Now tell us what your math block looks like now. What's your role as the teacher? What's their role as the students? How does it look? Because let me tell you, from an outsider perspective, listeners, it has completely transformed. It's nothing like what Mrs. McGrain just described in a traditional approach.
So it really truly has revolutionized my math block. Students are previewing the skill the night before, usually in a video format. And then they are coming to class the next day with their own notes that they've generated on their own, which we spent a couple weeks perfecting. So they did have my expectations for note taking and some general topics I wanted them to make sure they got in their notes. So they come to class the next day, and instead of me instructing them, they're instructing me. They're talking to me about what they've learned, questions they have from the video, misconceptions they might have, vocabulary that they think is important. So we have a discussion at the beginning of class, and it is driven by students' questions and students' needs. And it's really kind of cool because they're having authentic conversations with each other about what they've learned and chiming in with each other saying, you know, oh, I didn't get that part, but that's a really good way to think about that. Or, oh, I thought it was supposed to be done this way as opposed to this way. So really the first 20 minutes of class is student discussion and student-led discussion.
That's pretty different from before, when you would stand up in front of the classroom and instruct them on a given concept.
Absolutely. So after we're done kind of discussing what they've watched and students have, you know, answered their questions and asked their questions, the next thing students do is they take a 5-minute digital quick check. And this will tell me where they are as a learner. Do they get the skill and can they be extended? Do they still need a little bit more practice, or are they really struggling with the skill and need some remediation? So through this quick check, Students who get the skill, they've got it. They are extended for the next 45 minutes doing activities with the same skill, but in extending their thinking. And then students also have the opportunity to be remediated with. So before flipped learning, I would not have had the class time to meet with all of my students, which is why it's really, really revolutionized my math block. When my students do the quick check, they move to guided stations around the classroom for enrichment, like I mentioned, or for remediation or independent work. Some teachers do work in their quick check to the videos that students are watching the night previous, so that they don't have to spend the actual class time doing a quick check. And it can look like something as a question that's posed at the end of a video, or show another example how to do this skill of what you've learned for tonight. So that's something else if you want to really maximize class time. That's something else that I've tried and that some other teachers do.
When the students are either extending or working on a remedial level, what is your role as the teacher? Do you work with the kids? Are you pulling small groups? Are you meeting with them individually? How does that look?
So I will meet with the high or the extension group, and I will meet with the low group. Once my students have finished their quick check, on my board I place directions on what to do and where to go. So without even asking me, they know what they need to start working on and where they need to go. Materials are all ready. They know where in the classroom to grab the materials. And then the directions on the overheader board tell them where they need to go and what to start working on. I will sit primarily with the remedial group. And if I'm fortunate to have another body in the classroom in form of a parapro or some sort of math aid, they will also work with the remedial group. And, you know, about every 5 minutes, I will get up and circulate the classroom, checking on the extended group and the on-level group. What's also really cool that I've done with flipped learning is that those students who really get the skill and they've got it and they're going, I will sometimes have them work with some of my lower students who are almost at the skill but need just a little bit more direction. So that's something else that flipped learning has helped me do. Students are in charge of delivering the instruction as well.
It sounds like it opens up so many new opportunities for students to really take ownership and for their needs to be met, because we know that there's so many of them. Can flipped learning work in any subject with any age level? What do you feel and think about that?
I think that flipped learning can work in every subject and every grade level. I think that the flipped learning model we're talking about today is best for intermediate level students, elementary students, so those grades 3, 4, and 5, where they can really work independently. You know, if you're interested in trying a flipped model, but you teach K-2, there is what's called an in-class flip, where students can be directed to an independent station where they're watching a video that introduces a new skill and then applying that skill on their own. I actually do a little bit of flipped in-class flipped learning for my ELA block, where students are, you know, watching a video on figurative language and then creating their own poem based on what they've watched. So it can be done both ways, and I would just suggest that lower grade levels maybe want to try in-class flip first. But totally, anybody can do flipped learning, and once you get started, it's so much fun and so easy.
I think it definitely works for any grade level. Like Mrs. McGrain said, you know, 3rd, 4th, and 5th up. I mean, middle school, high school, college, it's definitely worth a try. In terms of the in-class flip, I've also heard teachers use the in-class flip with students who can't access technology.
Absolutely.
Or videos at
yes,
home.
Yes, yes. And you know, talking about like the technology and the videos, what also is super cool about flipped learning is that students set the pace for their own learning. If they're watching a video at night and they didn't get what was talked about in the video, they can stop it, they can rewind it. You know, sometimes I go really fast in math and I teach the skill really fast. And this is kind of aided towards those learners who need to stop and reflect and think. They can pause, they can rewind, they can watch again. And so again, it's kind of really, it's putting the students in charge of their own learning and them understanding what their own personal needs are.
What are potential roadblocks that teachers may experience? How do you address these? I know we talked about, you know, not having access to technology
right.
at home. That would be the in-class flip. What are some of the other things that you've kind of come across, be like, whoa, but then you've adjusted to make work for you?
Well, with the flipped videos being kind of their homework or their front loading for the next day, you have students who don't watch the videos the night before and who don't do their homework. And that kind of frustrated me at first, but then I stepped back and I said, well, you know what? With traditional homework, you have students who come in the next day who haven't done their work. So in my math class, I dedicate the first 10 to 15 minutes of what I call their beginning work. It's their, we're trying to get their mind set into math. So during that first 10 to 15 minutes, if a student comes to me and says, listen, I didn't do my homework, they grab their headphones, they head to the back of the room, and they're given that 10 to 15 minutes of time to complete their homework. I truly haven't seen a lot. I don't get a lot of that because it's so discussion-centered. Students want to be part of the discussion, and they don't want to come into class having not watched the video to miss out on the discussion piece. So, but it happens, and it happens with every kind of homework. So, you know, just building that time into your schedule to allow students to get caught up at the beginning of class is key for me.
Some teachers I know think that they have to make their own videos for flipped learning.
No, I don't use any of my own videos. I pull from YouTube and Khan Academy. And again, the videos are no longer than 6 minutes. So don't reinvent the wheel. It doesn't have to be super complicated. Pick videos that are already out there and use those. I mean,
could you even have your students create their own videos and use those as a piece of flipped learning?
That would be awesome. I haven't even thought about that. But, you know, again, that would be so cool having those, all the learners in the classroom, all levels of learners creating the videos to show to next year's students. That would be really cool.
Or
I love that.
As resources for each other. Yeah.
Yes.
That would be really neat. And again, it takes the work off the teacher and puts it on the students.
Absolutely.
Again, that's what we aim to do.
The last roadblock that, you know, I've been doing this for 2 years now that I've come into is the student accountability. How are they taking their notes? Are their notes reflective of what they learned? Are their notes their best effort? Are they really watching the videos? So there's some really cool websites out there. Edpuzzle is one that I use. And Edpuzzle is awesome because I can upload videos from YouTube or Khan Academy or create my own videos. And it allows me to prevent the video from skipping. So when students are viewing the video, they have to watch the whole video. And I also input a question at the end. So students have to watch the video and then answer my question at the end to prove to me that they have watched the whole video.
Have you seen changes or growth in data when you're using this model?
You know, it's only my second year doing it, so I really only have last year's data to kind of go off of. But I would say that my data was typical growth for the group of students that I teach. But again, the engagement and the enthusiasm that's been shown through this is kind of what's really driving this for me.
How do parents feel about it?
Parents are a little worried at first, but when we explain to them that, you know, the flipped model, the videos aren't doing the teaching. The flip models are doing the front loading, and it's the coolest tool for differentiation. So when I explain to parents that, listen, I actually get more FaceTime with your students in class, I get more one-on-one time, I am meeting their needs better than a traditional classroom, they really seem to like it. And you know, students these days, when they have a question for anything, even parents, when they have a question that they want answered, where do they go to find it? They look it up on the internet, or they watch a video. So this type of teaching really is kind of with the times and with the 21st century accessibility to data and information, and everything is very immediate. And this kind of is just following right the trends that the world is going in.
Amazing. Okay, so if I'm a teacher or an administrator and I wanna test this out, take a baby step, where do I start? What should I do?
I think my biggest piece of advice is just to remember it doesn't have to be perfect. You can pull from all sorts of sources. Try one lesson. Try an in-class flip first to make it a station in your reading block or a station in your math block where students are watching a video and then, you know, following up with some sort of activity to, you know, show you what they've learned. Just do it. Just try it. It's not hard. The students love it. And if you start small, you get your confidence, and pretty soon you'll be doing an entire subject areas as a flipped learning model.
Unreal, unreal. To all our listeners out there, it is so incredible to watch Mrs. McGrain and how she has transformed her math block and her learning and what it does for her kids. Thank you for sharing and
for being a part
of the Roar.
You're welcome.
We are so proud of the great learning taking place at DJ. If you have any questions, please email us at jeggert@sd13.org, and we'll be sure to get right back to you. We'd also love to hear any ideas that you have. Let's put our heads together. Thanks for listening. This has been The Roar, signing off.